If you take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Ephesians, we've been studying this great book chapter by chapter, and we're up to chapter 3, all right? And I'm just going to review a little bit of what we talked about last week in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yeah, Christ takes prisoners. Isn't that something? Now, he is in prison. He's in a literal prison. He's in a prison in Rome. But he doesn't complain that he's a prisoner in Rome. He doesn't say, hey, I'm a prisoner of Nero. Yeah, no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say I'm unjustly accused and people have been lying about me. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was saying that he had given his heart completely to Jesus, that he was fully surrendered, that he belonged completely to Jesus. He had made his decision, and regardless of what happened to him, or what was circumstances he faced, even though he was in prison, he was still belonging to Jesus. He was still his servant. He was still his minister. And regardless of where God sent him, and regardless of whatever he had to do, God was with him. God would not forsake him. He belonged completely to God. And in chapter 3 and verse 3, he goes on and he talks about the mystery of God. Now, the mystery is something that you don't understand. It's a mystery. All right? He didn't know it. But what he didn't know was two things. One, he didn't understand the grace of God. Yeah. Isn't that sad? Here was a man who was trained. Hey, he didn't understand God's grace. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. He was a Pharisee. He was well educated. Yeah. Why is it he didn't understand God's grace? He didn't understand God's grace, nor did he understand, and this was the other mystery, that the Gentiles will be part of God's everlasting kingdom. He thought it was just for the Jews and the Jews only. Yeah, what happened? What went wrong? Why didn't he see it? It was all throughout the Old Testament. Yeah, you can go back to the time of Abraham. Hey, Abraham believed God. He was declared righteous. God showed him his grace. Hey, we can go to Noah. Yeah, Noah was showing God's grace. Yeah. But Abraham was given that promise, not only of God's grace, but that through him, all the nations would be blessed. Through Jesus Christ, yeah. Yeah, he would become through Abraham's seed. Yeah, the Jews would be blessed. But it says all the nations would be blessed. Anyone and everyone can belong to God's kingdom. And it was there, clear as day, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament. And you could read about God's grace to all people. How did he miss it? How did the Jews miss it? I'm going to suggest to you today that it was because they thought of God as like all the other religions of their time. All the religions of their time taught about salvation by works. And Paul was swept up in this. We can read in the book of Philippians how he says, hey, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee, which meant he was well educated. He was wealthy. Yeah, he had everything that everybody wanted to be. But there was one thing that was missing in his life. And he found it on the way to Damascus. Remember, the Lord came to him and revealed himself to him. And what did Paul say? Who are you, Lord? He didn't know God. He spent his whole life dedicated to God. to knowing scriptures and the tradition, the sanctuary and the sacrifice. He knew all those things, but he missed the most important thing. And Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's writing to us. He doesn't want us to miss what is most important in our relationship with him. And just like God revealed himself to Paul, he reveals himself to each one of us. Now, I can remember the first time, I recognized that God was speaking to me. It was in a church in New Jersey, over 3,000 miles away, and I was at an evangelistic series. The minister was preaching on Matthew 6:33. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And there I was sitting in the pew, and I thought, wow, yeah, I ought to put God first in my life. And God started speaking to my heart. God revealed himself to me, not like he did to Paul. I mean, God reveals himself to us, all right, on our own terms, you know. And he met me where I was at that time. And it changed my life. I was no longer the same, just like Paul was no longer the same. You know when God speaks to you. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew God was speaking directly to my heart. And I was listening. And it probably wasn't the first time that God had spoke to my heart, but I'll tell you this, it was the first time I was listening. All right? Yeah, it was the first time that I heard God speaking to me. And the important thing is that we take time. God wants to speak to us every day. I believe he's speaking to us now in this service. He's speaking to you. He's been speaking to you through the music. All right? He's been speaking to you through the children's story, through the time of giving, because we just don't give our finances, we give ourselves to God, all right? Yeah, he talked to us through the prayer, and now he's speaking to us through his word. And we come here because we want to hear God's voice, but I want to hear it not just today, I want to hear it every day. I want to be close to him. I want to hear his voice. And so every day, before I begin my day, I need to be sitting at his feet. I need to be reading his word. This is him speaking to me. All right? And when I pray, I respond to God. And I pray that God's word will be lived out in my life. Now, here in chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul is praying. It's a beautiful prayer. And he's trying to teach us something. He's teaching us the importance of prayer. This is the second time he's praying in the book of Ephesians. We saw him pray in Ephesians 1. Yeah, and here he is praying again, just a few verses later. Yeah, he's praying again. Why? Because prayer is essential. Prayer is important. It's necessary in our walk with God. And so he takes time to pray. And he's setting an example for us. He's teaching us that we need to connect to God. We need to listen to that voice. He needs to speak to us and through us. And it says here in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, He's bowing his knees to the Father. Isn't it wonderful? We can call God Father. Yeah, Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven. Yeah, hey, God wants to have a close relationship. He's our Father because he has created us. We're created in his image. And because of sin, now he wants to restore us in his image. Hey, because, yeah, he's not only our creator, our sustainer, he's our redeemer. Oh, God, he says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't the first time he was praying for the church at Ephesus. He prayed with the Ephesians. Remember back in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. It was the last time he would see the Ephesians. And there he bows down and he prays. And there are people who remember Paul. Yeah, who were there when Paul was there in Ephesus. And they remember him kneeling down on the ground and praying for all them. And here they are reading his prayer. He says, I bow on my knees. Hey, remember I did this, guys, with you. I'm doing it again. I haven't given up for you. I am going to be praying for you every day. For this reason, I bow on my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family. And remember, Paul at one time was thinking the whole family was the whole Jewish family. But when he writes the whole family here, he means everyone. For God so loved the world. Yeah, he loves everyone. And he's praying for the whole family. He's praying for you and for me. And this is why it's written down for us. Yeah, from the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory. And his glory is his character. It's who he is. He's forgiving. He's merciful. He's just. He's a God of compassion. Yeah. And he wants to reproduce his character in us. Yeah. And this is what gives him glory. Yeah. When we allow him to transform our lives. Salvation isn't just the fact that he has forgiven us. That's just the beginning. Salvation is he continues to work on us. He wants to show to the world that you are his son, his daughter, that you belong to him. He wants to reveal his character in you, to be strengthened with might through his spirit on the inner man. That you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, he talks about the Spirit. We read about the Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit. In chapter 4, he'll talk about unity through the Spirit. And in chapter 6, he'll talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's beautiful when he talks about the Spirit. I remember Isaiah chapter 40. It says he's going to renew our strength like the eagles. And I don't know if you remember the story about the eagles is that they're beautiful, powerful birds. And when a little baby is born, it's not a beautiful baby. Maybe to an eagle, but to me, it's kind of ratty looking. All right? And that baby has a tiny beak. And as the baby gets older, it begins to grow. It becomes an awkward teenager, I guess. I don't know. But it has this tiny beak. And before it becomes an adult, it has to peck on the rocks around it. And eventually it breaks its beak because a new beak has to grow in. A strong, big, powerful beak. He wasn't born with that kind of a beak, but it will begin to grow that new beak. And when that beak is coming back in, he doesn't eat. Yeah, he can't eat anything. And so you think he looked kind of ratty before. Well, he looks pretty bad. And finally, when that beak begins to grow in, he becomes like a new bird. He's starving, he's hungry. So he jumps off the side of the nest and he begins to fly and he begins to soar and he begins to capture prey and he begins to eat again. And all his new feathers come in and he becomes a glorious bird. Yeah, a transformation took place. And just as that bird was transformed from a baby eagle that was ratty looking to a glorious eagle, God says, I'm going to renew your strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need to be pleading for that Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul is doing. He's praying that you will be strengthened. Yeah, Paul knew what it was to be weak and tired and to feel all alone. But hey, he says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was revived. I became like that new eagle. Yeah, you can be revived. I can be revived. The Holy Spirit is at work in us. And this is what he's praying for. He's praying that you will experience the Holy Spirit in the inner man, deep down in your heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, I read a story this week about sailors. Yeah, in the early days when they didn't have engines and everything was done by oars or by sails, and they would see icebergs in the ocean. And one thing that always surprised them is that the wind could be blowing one way, but the icebergs would go another way. And that always baffled them about icebergs. Well, later on, as man became more aware of science, they realized that 90% of an iceberg is underwater. All right? And it is the currents that push the iceberg. It's not the winds. Yeah. And for us, we need to be in the current of God. We need to be submerged deep in his word, deep in prayer, deep in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah, he says, yeah, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints that which is the width, the length, the depth, the height. Yeah, God has created a new building. Now, when I read this, I thought of the temple. Yeah, at Moses' temple that he built, the sanctuary he built. Yeah, I thought of Solomon. He built a sanctuary. Yeah, the length, the width, the height, the depth. Yeah. And it says here also that you are a temple. Yeah, Paul says, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Ghost? God is building you. Yeah, he's working in you. He's transforming you. And Paul is praying. He's praying that work of God will be brought to completion. To know the love of Christ. Now, it's one thing to know about the love of Christ, but it's something else to experience the love of Christ. Says to know, he wants them to experience it. Yeah, not just to know it, not to have a knowledge, because Paul knew all about knowledge. He didn't want any more just a knowledge about God. He wanted to experience God's love, and he wants you and I to experience, which passes all understanding, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, I read a story about a professor. He was a professor of preaching. His name was Fred Craddock. And him and his wife went on a vacation to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they were in a restaurant eating. And there was a distinguished-looking gray-haired man, all right? And he was going around to the different people at the tables and just welcoming them and just talking to them. And finally, he came to their table. And this man asked him, he said, Fred, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a professor. I teach preaching. And the man kind of got quiet and said, well, let me tell you my favorite preaching story. He said, when I was a young boy, he said, I grew up not knowing my dad. My mom was a single mom. Never met my dad, never knew my dad. And because of that, as I grew up, I felt like I never belonged. You know, in school, I never was hung out with anybody. I was always alone. I didn't want to be with anybody. I knew I was different. And I didn't want to hear it. Occasionally, he would go to church in town. And he would come in after the singing was done, and he would try to get out before the singing began again at the closing hymn. He tried to get out. And one day he was kind of trapped. And so he was trying to get out of church and he couldn't. And the pastor made it to the back of the church and he was shaking people's hands and he went out the door hoping that the pastor wouldn't notice him. And the pastor looked at him and shook his hand and said, son, who's your daddy? Oh, it just crushed him on the inside. He thought, oh, this guy knows, you know? And he looked up at the pastor, and the pastor just smiled at him and said, I know who your daddy is. And his eyes got big because he thought he really knew who his literal dad was. He said, I know who your daddy is. He said, you're a child of God. I see the resemblance. He said, that day changed his life. The pastor said, you got a great inheritance. Go out and claim it. And today, church family, that's what I want to say to you. I know that you are children of God. I see the resemblance in you. You have a great inheritance today. Go out and claim it. Let's pray. Lord, wow. Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Paul to us today. And thank you for being here with us. Oh, Lord, help us to recognize that we are your children. We belong to you, and you don't make junk. Lord, live out your life within us. Help us to every day sit at your feet and know you. We want more than knowing about you, but we want to be intimate with you. We want to be close to you. We want to be like you. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful inheritance we have. And today we claim it by faith in Jesus Christ, in whose